Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
My name is Luke Hatfield. For those of you who don't know me, I have been blessed to finish up my 13th year of ministry at Ripon College this past year. And so I do ministry with Campus Collective Christian Ministries. They also have a branch here at UW Oshkosh and one at UW Madison as well. And so I love getting to disciple college students, getting to share Christ and his word and his ways with them. It's such a blessing. And it's great to be here with you as we continue our series in Proverbs. So this is week three. In week one, we learned that Proverbs are God's wise sayings. They're not commands and they're not promises, but they are principles that allow us to live wisely. And true wisdom is living life God's way. And the foundation for wisdom is the fear of the Lord, reverencing him and aligning ourselves with him. Last week, Pastor Wyatt challenged us with this awesome principle of scripture that really struck me, that there is a direct correlation between the intensity with which we seek God and the revelations of and from God that we will receive. Then he challenged us with some great questions. Do you have a teachable spirit? Do you yearn to hear from God? And are you motivated to seek him and do what he says, to live life his way? Because that's true wisdom. So today, we are going to look at the end of the first section of Proverbs, chapters 1-9. It's kind of this introduction, and it's kind of different than the rest of the book because it kind of comes in sections. It consists of 10 speeches of a father to a son, and then 4 speeches of or about Lady Wisdom. Last week, Pastor Wyatt led us through part of one of the father-to-son speeches. And this week, we're going to look at the last part of this first section of Proverbs, which is also the last speech of Lady Wisdom. So if you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And before I tell you where we're going, I was struck as we were singing our worship this morning, that there's an important reminder that we need to remember as we're going through this series of Proverbs. And that is that sometimes Proverbs can be very much this like, do this, don't do that. It can feel like a bunch of commands, a bunch of rules, a bunch of things that like we just need to do it. And they're not commands, they're principles, but we still can fall into this trap of thinking that we have to earn it, that we are responsible on our own power and strength for walking in wisdom. That is not God's way. That is not the gospel. The great news that we sang of the gospel is that Jesus perfectly walked out wisdom for us and then died the death we deserve and rose again in power so that by faith we can receive his already perfect life of wisdom. Is that good news, River Valley? Amen. So when we hear these Proverbs, don't fall into the trap of thinking, okay, I really got to do that. Oh, I got to put this on my list. I got to do that. These are ways for us to know our Savior and to follow him in his strength and power. All right, so Proverbs 9. Let me tell you where we're headed this morning. So first, we're going to compare and contrast Lady Wisdom with Woman Folly. Then we're going to receive an important caution. And finally, we're going to receive once again the call of the book of Proverbs. So let's pray as we prepare to dive in God's glorious wisdom. God, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, the perfect spotless Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, Holy Spirit, we come to you, God, our God, And we thank you that you share your wisdom with us, not just telling us, but living it and then giving it to us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to see you. Help us to love you. Help us to desire wisdom and your way, more of you in our lives as a result of our time together in your word this morning. In Jesus' powerful, wise name we ask. Amen. All right, so we are going to start by comparing and contrasting Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly. And to do that, I want you to follow along with me as I read Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip to verses 13 to 18. And as I read, I want you to look and listen for what's the same and what's the different in what's different in the two descriptions. All right, so Proverbs 9, starting in verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Now skipping down to verse 13. I'm going to read verse 13 from the NLT and then the rest from the ESV. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew word for the grave or the place of the dead. There's a lot going on in these verses, but I want to draw your attention to five elements of invitation that these two sections offer. First, they both tell us who is inviting us. Look at verses 1 and 2. Lady Wisdom has worked hard and prepared a great feast in a beautiful setting. Now compare that with verses 13 and the first part of 14. The woman Folly is brash, ignorant, and doesn't know it. This threefold description of woman Folly is kind of interesting because it's not directly contrasted with anything in the description of Lady Wisdom. It's as if Lady Wisdom lets her work and its results do the talking for her. The ESV Study Bible says it this way: the description of Wisdom's house, she built it and hewed seven pillars, and her preparations, she slaughtered her beasts, mixed her wine, set her table, sent out her young women, is a picture of the prudence, strength, riches, and honor that she described as hers. And you can check that out in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 21. The Study Bible goes on, in contrast, the description of Folly is a picture of one who lacks sense. She knows nothing, verse 13. She lacks strength and honor because she sits at the door, verse 14. And she lacks riches because she offers stolen water and bread, in verse 17. So who's inviting us? Lady Wisdom is prudent, hardworking, strong, rich, and honorable. Woman Folly is brash, ignorant and doesn't know it, lazy, weak, poor, and dishonorable. The second element that these invitations tell us about is how are people invited? Look at verse 3 for Lady Wisdom. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. And then look at verses 14, the second half of 14 and 15 for Woman Folly. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. In both cases, the call is issued from the highest places in town. Both Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly intend for their invitations to be as widely heard as possible. But Wisdom sends her young women, her servants, to put out the invitation, which would be a culturally normal and honorable way to invite people. But folly is sitting there herself. So what's going on here? Verse 15 is another one of those verses where there's no direct comparison with Lady Wisdom. It just tells us more information about woman folly. The first half of the verse says, folly is calling to those who pass by. Kind of like those who are just minding their own business. They're just going on their day, right? Did you ever feel like you were just minding your own business when you suddenly got pulled into some foolishness? I know I've felt that way. We have to beware, because folly doesn't just call us from outside. It lives in us. Our sin nature is drawn to folly. We are drawn to it. We can be seduced by it. And in the second half of verse 15, we learn a little bit more about this call from folly. And I want us to focus on that word straight. So this Hebrew word is a verb that means to make straight, and it only appears 5 times in the whole book of Proverbs. And every time, it refers to something morally good, something agreeing with God's righteousness. In fact, in a couple of weeks, Pastor Neil is going to be sharing about one of the places this phrase is used in Proverbs 3:6, a well-known verse, where it says that God does it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's that same word. So when we consider this idea of straightness and righteousness, verse 15 seems to be hinting that in addition to just kind of calling out to those who pass by, woman folly is also trying to seduce people who are on the right path. So how are people being invited? As many as possible by Lady Wisdom's servants, and as many as possible being led astray by woman folly herself. The third element of the invitation tells us who is being invited. Look at verses 4 and 16. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, and it's the exact same for woman folly. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says. The people being invited are identical. Whoever is simple and whoever lacks sense. And as Dave pointed out a couple of weeks ago, it's not bad to be simple or to lack sense as long as we can admit it and we don't stay there. The fourth element of the invitation is what we are being invited to. Look at verses 5 and 17. Verse 5, Lady Wisdom says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Verse 17, Woman Folly says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Lady Wisdom's invitation is to her bread and the wine that she has mixed, indicating her wealth, her hospitality, her preparation and honor. The woman folly's invitation is to stolen water and bread eaten in secret, indicating her poverty, her secrecy, her laziness, and her illegitimacy. One is a feast, the other is a farce. And the fifth and final element of the invitation is its result. And we see that in verses 6 and 18. Listen to Lady Wisdom's call. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. You hear this echo throughout Scripture of God just beckoning us to him. Like, would you just come and live? He wants to give us life. God is not trying to take life away from you. In fact, he gave his son. Jesus gave his life so you could have life. And then listen to woman folly. The conclusion is he, the person who follows her way, does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Heeding Lady Wisdom's generous invitation leads to life. And answering woman folly's dark seduction leads to death. One last comparison that I want to make before we move on from this part is that both Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly have a house. You can remain in wisdom or in folly for a pretty long time. You can get a room. Really, the choice is up to you. But the longer you stay in one house or the other, sometimes the easier it may be to stay and stay and stay for good or for ill. I'm reminded of the Eagles' classic song. Anyone? Hotel California. That's right. A haunting song, really, about being trapped in your own sin. One of the singer's guides in the hotel says, "We are all just prisoners here of our own device." And the last line of the song is the doorman speaking to the singer as he tries to run out. "You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave." Left to our own devices, that tragic line would be true of all of us. But God, right? Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins," when we were stuck at the Hotel California, "he made us alive together with Christ." Skipping to verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That is the life of wisdom. And we can only fully and truly walk in wisdom when we have been saved by God's free gift through trusting in Jesus Christ alone as Savior and submitting to him as the Lord of our lives. That's what we're gonna be celebrating in a couple weeks when we baptize 20-some people. These people have trusted in Jesus as their Savior, and they are saying, "I wanna follow him as Lord of my life." That is awesome and worth celebrating and remembering. Praise God that Jesus lived the life of perfect wisdom, not just to show us how, but to give us the free gift of his perfect wisdom, so that we can walk in it. So we've done the comparison and contrast between Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly. Now we just have two more parts of chapter 9. And in verses 7-9, we receive this really important caution. So look with me there. "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." I love the way the Expositor's Bible Commentary talks about these verses. It says, "But now we are to note that the invitation of wisdom is addressed only to the simple, not to the scorner or the scoffer." It goes on, "Indeed, there is no character so hopeless as that of the scorner. There proceeds from him, as it were, a fierce blast which blows away all the approaches which goodness makes to him. Reproof cannot come near him." That's in Proverbs 13:1. "He cannot find wisdom though he seek it." Proverbs 14:6. "And as a matter of fact, he never seeks it." Proverbs 15:12. "If one attempts to punish him, it can only be with the hope that others may benefit by the example. It will have no effect upon him." Proverbs 19:25. "To be rid of him must be the desire of every wise man, for he is an abomination to all." Proverbs 24:9. "And with his departure, contention disappears." Proverbs 22:10. That's not a great description. And the Expositor's Bible Commentary goes on with these, I think, just such well-written lines. "They that scoff at things holy and scorn the divine power must be left to themselves until the beginnings of wisdom appear in them. The first sense of fear that there is a God who may not be mocked. The first recognition that there is a sanctity which they would do well at all events to reverence. There must be a little wisdom in the heart before a man can enter the palace of wisdom. There must be a humbling, a self-mistrust, a diffident misgiving before the scorner will give heed to Lady Wisdom's invitation. I know scorn and scoff are not words that we maybe use very often in our culture anymore, but I think we do it all the time. Who or what do you scorn or scoff at? What is the sin in other people, in them, those people, that gets you most upset? What gets your blood boiling? When we arrogantly presume to judge others as if we were God, as if we were perfect, that is classic scoffer behavior. When we cynically, sarcastically, smugly put down the efforts or attempts of other people, we're scoffing. Ultimately, scoffing comes from the foolish pride that says, I'm better than those people. And even though probably none of us would say that out loud, how often do we think, speak, and act like that's true? God, please help me, please help us to repent of our scoffing. Help us to be truly wise, which starts with the humility to know that we can always grow in wisdom. Make us humble, Lord. That prayer for humility leads us right into our last section, the call of the book of Proverbs in verses 10 through 12. Look there with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me, your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So at the beginning of this call, we see that oft-repeated phrase, especially in chapters 1 through 9. We've already heard it multiple times before, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of or the foundation for wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is not this terror that makes us flee from God or cringe in his presence. It's awe and reverential love that draws us towards him. Knowing God is the ultimate call of Proverbs and of the whole Bible. And there is only one way to know God, through trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and following him as the Lord of our lives. And then verse 11 says that by me, and I think that's Lady Wisdom talking again, and Lady Wisdom is a characterization of the wisdom that comes only from God. So by wisdom, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. Now remember, this is a principle, not a promise, but generally, if you live life God's way and you live according to wisdom, your life is going to be longer on this earth. But the cool thing is, no matter how many years any of us have left here, if we are trusting in Jesus Christ, our eternal life has already started. And it's life with Jesus that starts now and lasts forever. So this is fulfilled in Jesus. But then we see in verse 12, one final principle about wisdom, that you can't be wise for someone else, and you can't have someone else's wisdom. Parents, don't you wish you could just like download some wisdom into your kids sometimes? Right? We so desperately want our kids to follow Jesus, to live wisely. Sometimes I think maybe we want them to live wisely more than we want them to follow Jesus. So think about that. But you cannot force your wisdom into your children. It doesn't work. And in fact, it does a disservice to both you and them. We can share wisdom. We can point them to Jesus, but they have to make the decision. And so what do we do when we see our children starting to wander away, starting to be foolish? Sometimes that's when we try to like grab for control and force our wisdom. That's not going to work. What we need to do is pray to the God of wisdom. And we might need to implement discipline and all those things. It is our responsibility to raise our children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, but they have to make their own choice. This verse 12 confronts us with a great closing question. Are you pursuing the way of wisdom? Are you actively learning to live life God's way? Or are you scoffing your way through life, foolishly and sinfully insisting, I know the way. I'm the boss of my own life. What is God calling you out of this morning? What is he calling you into? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are still calling, that you desire all people to be saved and come to know you and know you more and more and more. Thank you that we will never exhaust the infinite riches of your goodness and grace and love and mercy and wisdom. Help us to submit to you, to live life your way. It's the best life we could ever live. You're the designer. You made us and you know how we work best and you haven't kept it a secret. You've told us. Help us listen. Help us humble ourselves. God, please protect us from scoffing, from pride and arrogance. Help us to humbly keep looking and listening for wisdom, for you. Thank you, Jesus, that you lived the perfect life of wisdom that we cannot, that you died the death we deserve and rose in victory so that we can have your wisdom credited to our account, and then you will teach us and instruct us to walk it out. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.